Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael. And today we are celebrating 5 years of being on air on YouTube. So to celebrate our fifth anniversary, we wanted to have Kristen Napier return to the show, as she was a big part of helping us to create it and also was our first co-host. So she's going to be here with us. We're going to do a little bit of reminiscence. We're going to catch up with Kristen. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our show. And we're really happy to have all of you back. Got some great guests coming up. We've still got Jim McGrath up next, and he's going to be talking next week about the importance that ritual plays in spirituality and health. And he's very connected to theater, so it should be a fascinating conversation. All kinds of great stuff coming up. And then we're taking December off, our hiatus, and then we're going to kind of be revamping our show a little over December. So it's going to have a little bit of a new format. I'm retiring from the lodge here, so we're going to change location and change up our way of doing things, but still great guests and great conversations and all that great stuff. So get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. While you're there, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. But most importantly, go to YouTube, click like and subscribe, and that helps us more than anything. So don't want to take up a ton of time, because I know we've got a lot to talk about and catch up on with Kristen, since we haven't seen her in a bit, and I'm so excited that she's here. So take it away, guys.
Great. Thank you, Michael, and welcome, Kristen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. It is so exciting to be here and celebrating 5 years. We had COVID. So much has gone on in 5 years.
Yes.
And it's just great to see you guys doing what you're doing and continuing and just evolving and growing with it.
Thank you. I was telling you before the show, I went back and I watched our very first episode, which was actually in October of 2018, and it was the ethics of spell casting. And so I listened to it, and it was a real trip, actually. But and then, you know, so you were with us for quite a while. You know, you were there through July of the next year.
Yeah.
But I did want to let people know that you were also a big part of the planning, and I wanted to kind of go back into like the beginning of how we started this and how we had meetings and yes, and all of that. So let's start with that. I did want to, maybe Michael, you can jump in here and sort of explain how you even came up with the concept of the Sixth Sense Society, because that's kind of interesting, because it morphed into something from one thing to another.
Yeah, it basically started as an idea of a group of tarot readers and other readers promoting ourselves by forming a little group and co-marketing and so forth. And then one by one, they seemed to sort of not show up. And we had this cool name that we'd found, sixthsensesociety.com, which I couldn't believe the .com for that was still available. And so Kristen and I thought, what the heck, you know, we've always wanted to do a live stream. And then we were talking to Kristen about it, and she was enthusiastic about it. So we started meeting and hammering out ideas. And here we are. We started with one camera and one beauty light, and here we are with the whole studio. So it's been a long journey. It's been a lot of fun. And I think the most fun thing is the guests we've met along the way. We've met such incredible people, and that's been just an absolute joy. But that was kind of how we got started.
Yeah, I remember we would meet like almost once a week.
We did. And we met on your porch.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just talk about different ideas and, you know, how you would want to present yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking about tarot and kind of deciding early on that we didn't want it to be completely all about tarot.
Right.
That it should be expansive and talk about a lot of issues and a lot of topics around spirituality and magic and ritual and ceremony and the esoteric.
Yes.
And that it should be something broad that a lot of people could connect with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always really had a good time co-hosting with you. And I just thought we had a good rapport, and we would often, even if we didn't agree on the topic, I actually liked that.
Yeah,
because we wanted
that,
to like, yeah, not just be so like one-dimensional,
right,
but a real
debate between,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, and you always could hold your own. But I mean, we did agree on a lot. And also we're both really, you know, passionate about the interest in this topic, I think.
Yeah.
But I did always really enjoy our shows together and look forward to it. And, you know, you did a variety of things. So you had the guests that you would help interview, but then we also started the Cosmic Weather for a while.
Yes, I remember the Cosmic Weather. And we would kind of take turns with, you know, our interpretation of the astrology, because I'm going to read the astrology and get one thing out of it, and you're going to read the same astrology, but have a different perspective on what the planets mean and what's going on out there. And so that was always fun and interesting.
Yeah, we would do it at the beginning of the show in the beginning. In fact, the first thing we talked about ever was the Venus Scorpio retrograde.
Yes. And we just had a Venus retrograde, literally. Yeah. So how fun and interesting that here we are back again with the Venus retrograde.
Yeah, that was funny. So we'd had it at the beginning of the show. So the show format really switched a little bit. The thing that I totally had forgotten about was Mike would do these little news segment, and we'd talk about it for a few minutes, but he'd find something interesting, maybe related to the topic. And he would say, hey, I read this article about Beyonce. It was really fun, actually.
Remember initially, it was sort of, the structure was a throwback to an old radio show where you would have the producer and the hosts, and there would be these sections. And it was sort of like we were going to break it down into these sections. So it was like this, and then this, and then that. And then, you know, like an appetizer and a main course kind of a thing. And I think it's fun to sometimes you just got to get things rolling and you got to get things moving. And it doesn't really matter what it looks like. It just matters that you do it and that you get it out there, because it's sometimes you don't know exactly what you want until you start doing it. And then it evolves and it grows as you evolve and grow. And you see, you know, what guests are gravitating towards coming back. And kind of like what Michael was saying before, everybody wants to say they want to get involved. But then when it comes to actually participating and doing and putting the time, then it becomes about who really wants to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you guys, I think you like someone like Jim, who's always coming back, and he's always excited to be here and always excited to be talking about a topic and is always passionate about. You know, about it. And so you find your groove with your people, you know, and then discovering new people.
It's true. One of the things Michael and I both have learned, even doing the tarot business, is that you just start where at some place.
Yeah.
And it will evolve. And even if you don't, you know, Michael taught himself everything technically. And even with the host, I mean, I'd never hosted a show before, but I always liked the idea. We had thought about doing a metaphysical show very early on one of those cable channels, because I just thought it'd be fun to interview people.
Yeah.
So that was weird how this kind of came to be years later, because I totally forgot about that. And but you're right, you just got to get going, get started. We didn't even have initially a place we were going to do it.
Right.
This kind of happened on its own.
Right.
So that was another thing. I remember we did look into that place downtown.
We looked into like actual professional studios, and then they would actually post the stream for us, and then sometimes it was expensive, and like, you know, we couldn't quite figure out, okay, well, where do we want to do this, how do we want to get it out? And then this place came up so naturally, and it just seemed perfect, you know.
Yeah, that one really fit the idea that do the work and it will, you know, things will show up. That was a nice surprise. And it's been 5 years at the lodge, and it's very quiet here. It's a great venue, and I'm very grateful we've had 5 years. Even though we'll be leaving the lodge, it's probably for the better, because my father's elderly. So if I need to move suddenly, we can take the show really easily.
Exactly. It's twofold, right? Because on one hand, you're holding the in-person, which is always, we don't want to let that die in our society. It's so important. But there's the freedom of being able to be anywhere and live your life and have the life that you want to create and do what you want to do. And like you said, you can take the show anywhere. So it's always a balance, but I think it's great. I think it's wonderful to be able to expand. I think I was someone who never used to like to go on Zoom and do all that stuff. And now I'm like, can we do it on Zoom instead? I can be in my home and I can be comfortable. I don't have to go anywhere. We have to be careful of that.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But I think it's wonderful to have freedom and liberation and expansion that this provides.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I did want to mention a couple of sort of interesting statistics. So from what I can tell, because we didn't number the shows, we've done a total of 225 episodes. Which, you know,
that's good.
It does take more energy than you think to do even just one-hour show a week.
My God.
I have to admit.
So
one of the things we're changing is we're going to take, like, a month off after 3 months starting next year, right. Because I was at starting to get like, okay, I can do this. Cause you know, you got to get the guests and market and prepare,
yes.
And we have other things going, but there's also something energetic about doing a show that's yeah. a little intangible that mm-hmm. I don't know why you get tired sometimes.
People don't understand how much energy goes into creating even one little clip.
Yeah.
Which is what I've discovered. Like, oh, well, you know, you see all these people on YouTube and they just put the camera on and they start talking and it's so easy. It's not easy.
Right.
And to be able to consistently do one show a week for the majority of 5 years, yes, there's been December you take off or you take off, or there was COVID. But that is a huge feat to say that you've put something up once a week and marketed it with the additional materials. Most people don't have the follow through for it.
Yeah, I'm actually super proud of that, really. I mean, I did have some issues when I was younger finishing things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the tarot business taught me to have staying power. But there were a couple times I did feel I wasn't sure this was worth it on some level. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it's because I so enjoy the process. And I have to admit, we really do have some interesting people that have been back more than once. And I would have never met them. And mm-hmm. And also learned from them. You know, I learned myself from them. And so I thought that was a good number. And then I wanted to sort of say the top three shows in the 5 years. Now, this is how many people have viewed them, because there's also watch time, which I didn't really look into. But you were in two of them. Of course, the top one was Aleister Crowley and Sex Magic.
Yes,
of course. It's like 13,000 still. And then Aleister Crowley's Magic in Theory and Practice mm-hmm. is 7,500, which is good for our show. And that was interesting because it was just basically a book review.
Right.
I mean, yes. But I thought anything with Aleister Crowley, he's on the rise. I mean, because the next show that was the top one was Aleister Crowley's Ta Tarot with Lon Milo Duquette.
Yes.
So anything with him.
Crowley's up there like, I'm working my magic here.
Yeah, he's not going to be forgotten, you know. And so I wanted to say that. But that was, and the other thing I wanted to tell you was that Kitchen Witch show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. At first, it seemed like nobody would watch it. And then all of a sudden, it was the only show I've ever seen was like a sleeper show. And then all of a sudden, it started rising and it did really pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I said, I wonder what happened. I was like, that's so cool, because it was such an anomaly. And I thought it was a good show, but most of the witch shows do pretty well.
Yeah.
That one's still
sometimes
one of the top.
Sometimes it takes a minute to go through the algorithm. And as you, some things are like that. It takes a minute and then pop.
Yeah.
You know.
So that one, I want to tell you, you were on it. So... Yeah. And then I did want to say our first guest was in November, and it was the show on mediumship with Adela Levine.
Yes.
And so she was. And Jim was on very early. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Reverend Jim, he'll be on next week, and we're hoping you're going to join that too. Mm-hmm. He enjoys doing the shows a lot, and we love having him because one of our goals was to have a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. And that way, when you have some of these people like Jim and Jackie Smith who have so much knowledge, they can come back and share their knowledge again in different ways and then still grow with new people.
Right.
So we really, he always says it's like he gets a lot off his chest when he comes on the show.
Well, and it's kind of like what you were saying about, like, you wonder sometimes, is it worth it with all the energy you have to put into it, considering what you might get back. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to like these instances, right, with somebody like Jim, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, it is. It's worth it to keep doing it because of these rewards or getting to have that experience with Jim, or, you know, it's because it can be a little bit of a, where do we put our time in our life?
Yeah.
You know? So it's exciting to kind of realize, okay, yeah, this is worth pushing through.
Right. Yeah. Well, another thing that happened along the way is I don't think you interviewed Lama Kathy, but she was on fairly early, and she's our Buddhist go-to lady. But we like her because she's so practical, so her communication is great. And she said something to us once, I think it was after a show, she said that she thought what we're doing was really important because we're trying to also show different paths so that it will build more tolerance and understanding. And that was very touching because we didn't ask her to say that, or she just said it on her own. And so, I mean, that helped us, I think, to understand we're doing something meaningful, which I think in life, in the long run, most of us want to have also meaningful work and not only work that pays the bills or makes us rich.
Right.
You know?
And it's like, if it could be this one little tiny piece of something bigger and contributing to something bigger that raises the vibration of society, that brings us all together, that shows people a different pathway, that gives people support and creates a community where people can feel safe to express their interests in these different things.
Right.
That's so important to the community that you're offering.
Yeah, I think it is too. And it is really fun to sit. I've always liked to sit down. I like intimate conversations, obviously. That's why I'm a tarot reader too. And it's more my style anyway. And I learn things, and I have to admit, I've been really happy with all of the people that I've met on the show. Now, I did want to ask you, I went through and I sort of looked at some of the people you were interviewing along with me, and I just wanted to see what you remembered about it, if you had any favorite moments. Mm-hmm. So there was Troy Griffin, who did the police, the psychic police work. I forget what we called the show. He did that. He was on fairly early. Of course, Adela, and of course, Brad.
Yes, beloved Brad.
And Mabel, you were on for Mabel Rodriguez's show, the woman that had the health issue and became a life coach. And she was only on the one time, I think.
Yeah.
And then Nita, of course, is a friend of yours. You brought her on. And of course, Jim, those were some of the guests that you were part of. And so was there anything that you remember about any of the guests or doing the shows that, you know, you'd like to share?
I always just loved being on with Jim. Because he's just this, it feels like a font of knowledge of so many different things. And I remember doing a Mary Magdalene show that was so much fun to do. I mean, every topic was just, it just was really like, it was just really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was just, it was so much, he was funny. He's just a fun person to kind of chat with about all this stuff. So I always remember Jim really, really fondly and just the rapport with him. And I'd love to go back and see some of the topics that we talked about and see if I can. I'm sure there's like a gem of something I can remember in each one.
Right.
So I remember. And of course, Brad Cronin is a fantastic astrologer. He's so witty. He's just got great. You know, he's got great charisma, and he just is so knowledgeable about all the astrology that I always loved hanging out with Brad so much.
Yeah, we had him on, I think we had him on before his illness, what was it? We did something with Pluto or something, I forget, we had him on. You're right about Jim in that way. He is like a font of knowledge, but he has his own take on things, and he's like this mix of secular and scholarship and fun, and he doesn't take himself seriously. I've always interesting to see what he has to say. So the shows that I did write down, he talked about with you, it's the Holy Trinity, and then the two-part evangelicalism and fundamentalism show. We did that in two parts, and that was really interesting. I thought, you know, in fact, I'm thinking of going back and watching those.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's a huge topic right now. There's so much going on with fundamentalist religions.
Yes.
And if you watch any kind of true crime right now, there's so much stuff happening and percolating with these very cult-like fundamentalist sects.
Right.
In these religions. And it's fascinating. So I would love to see what Jim might have to say on the FLDS, which is the fundamentalist LDS, which is not to be confused with regular Mormon people who are just living a nice life and want to be good people. This is the extreme, you know, polygamy, suppression of women and expression of everybody. Mm. So I would be interested in what he would have to say, because it's pouring into so much of the news these days.
Right, right.
And how this is sort of percolating into other areas of life. You know, there's a thing right now going on with like a group of people that are like preppers for the end of the world.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And it's huge, and it's connected to some of the biggest crime cases right now with Lori Vallow Daybell, Chad Daybell. With Ruby Frankie and everything going on with her allegations from her children. And it's like we can't ignore this stuff anymore. This is now affecting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be interesting to go back and kind of to re-explore that topic of fundamentalist religion, extreme religious sects, and our current, you know, current society.
He did another show where we brought that up more, and he's definitely a feminist, and
yeah.
he's comes out and says that, you know, yeah. exactly what it is. So he's also very politically astute, as you know. And
yes.
so, but yeah, that might be something, you know, you could even ask him. I mean, we can go whatever we want with Jim in the show next week. So, Michael, did you want to weigh in on any sort of memories that you have about starting Sixth Sense Society or...
I'm afraid most of the things I remember is the tech not working and our motherboard crashing and, you know, the internet going out. And there's the person that kind of runs the tech part of the show. Those are my memories. And I'm not sure I would say that they're good memories, but we survived.
I remember you coming up with the theme song because it was a really big thing how
right.
the show was going to be presented. And the name of the show being Sixth Sense Society. I remember we worked a lot on the tagline.
Yeah.
And you worked a lot on exactly the right song that would lead into the show. And also coming from the, you know, the law, like everything that you say in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which I've noticed is the exact same thing
right.
that we used to say together and we
right.
used to split it up.
Yeah.
It was very particular
right.
on how you were presenting that. And this is who we are and this is where we're coming from. And it was a very interesting process, and again, finding that exact right song. And I believe that the script to the intro is from one thing, and your song, like the acoustic guitar, is from something else. And Michael put it together,
yeah.
to create. And what I always liked about it, and I was listening to it again, I'm like, oh yeah, it says that there's that little beach kind of vibe in the guitar because we are from Venice Beach.
Yes.
So, I just remember that being, and Michael coming up and saying, you guys, I think I found the right thing.
Yeah, he worked very
so
hard
funny.
On that.
It's
really hard on
so
that.
Funny that there's actually a story behind that too, in a sense that, yeah, and it was on YouTube, there's a whole library of royalty-free songs you can pick from and use, and most of them are absolutely horrid, you know, this horrible MIDI music, and you really want to stick ice picks in your ears after about an hour of listening to the snips from all these horrible songs. But but I ended up finding this one. It had this really cool spoken word part at the front. The vibe was good. The music was right. I said, aha, I found it. That's the one. So if you listen to our first couple episodes, that was the song. And it was supposed to be royalty-free and everything. So after about our third episode, it was this band from Russia. I suddenly get this email that they want us to put their branding all over everything now that we're using their song. And it's almost like bait and switch. So I was so mad. I thought, well, that intro part is from a B film somewhere. So they don't own the rights to that. So I went in with Audacity and I found another song, clipped out that part from the front, put the two together and created the theme song we use today. So screw them. I am not paying them their royalties because I felt they weren't really too honest about how they went about that.
Yeah, and then we recently did shorten the time of the song, but there, you know, there is this sort of debate about YouTube shows that
right.
there's this thing where you shouldn't have any introduction and you just should jump in. And
yes.
Michael and I, we just decided, no, we like that. And there are people that do still want a theme song.
Right.
And that's even true with television going through that too.
Right.
And I said, you know, I personally like theme songs. I mean, unless they're really bad, but you know, sometimes you just got to do what you want to do in life, and you have to do, especially a show like this, that it's our show.
Right.
We want to at least feel we're connected to what we're doing. And,
right.
you know, we're not, we did listen to some feedback and cut down some of the tune of it, but we like having it gets me kind of in the mood when I
right.
hear it, you know,
right.
and I think it's pretty funny. I love it. The,
right.
the whole movie section part.
You have to do what you want to do, and it's good to take some feedback. And then if there's ever a point where you think it needs to change again, then that will come organically. It won't
yeah.
come because you feel like you have to do something that everyone says you need to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I've read enough successful books. Robert Greene's book on power.
Yes.
And
I love Robert Greene.
I follow him on Instagram. Every now and then I get overwhelmed and say, okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to follow him for a while. But,
yeah.
But you know, I do like a lot of the stuff he's researched. And there was one thing he was talking about, specifically things like podcasts and how you shouldn't just do what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And that you should stick to what you want to do. Stephen King says that. I know
yeah.
people don't even know that. I read his book on writing, which is fabulous. And he said he always wrote what he wanted to write.
Right.
Now, he happened to hit a vein of gold.
Right.
But for having someone that successful say, hey, you should just write what you want to write.
Right.
And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, unless, of course, you're being hired to write something, that's different. And that's perfectly right. a good thing to do. Or you want to be a ghostwriter, perfectly good thing to do. But I think that there's you're more likely to have some kind of success so that even though we don't have as maybe a grand success as other people, we're still getting subscribers. We've had amazing feedback when we do get reviews and we get a little bit of money through Ko-fi without, I mean, we really are weak in our marketing, but we feel like there are people really responding to our show and that in a way we feel good about, like we feel proud about
right.
based on their genuine response.
Right.
And so I think that I don't know that I would have changed anything else, you
right.
know, as far as would I do this again? Sure. I mean, there's also the idea that things enrich us and maybe they also prepare us for other things so
right.
that I'm way more comfortable on the camera than I used to be.
Right.
Even though I've always looked okay on a camera, I never really wanted to do the camera part with this.
Right.
And now I'm like, whatever, you know?
Right.
And
right.
The YouTube's definitely helped that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, sticking to, you know, being inspired by others is good because
right.
I'll take my inspiration from other people. I'll say, oh, that's a good idea. I'll see something like someone's doing. But I think that you're more likely even to have a bigger success if you stick to something that is connected and authentic, because a lot of us, that's what we're looking for.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I was just thinking that it has to be authentic to you. It has to feel right. And there's always choice. There's always reevaluation. And there's always, okay, I want to be authentic to myself. I want to speak my truth. I want it to be me. And maybe I want to see how I could expand it. And maybe that means a different marketing thing. Maybe that means doing this or that. But you're doing it in a way that is authentic to you. Not you're not just, well, this is the trend, so I'm going to do that.
Right.
It's like, how do you make the trend work for you? You're not working for the trend.
Right.
And it's just taking practical tips that, you know, but only, again, if you're feeling it. If you're feeling, this is, I want to go with this. I want to go in that way. I want to, you know, reach a broader audience, so I want to try this or that. But certainly a theme song shouldn't be, should not deter anybody from...
You can get your coffee if you don't want to hear it, you know?
Yeah. Or you could always do something eventually where you say, hi, this is Krista coming from my home, and our topics are blah, 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 stay, and then put the theme song on. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a million ways to even do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
You know, and it's fun to reinvent yourself. It's fun. It doesn't mean you're throwing it all away. It just means who am I am now and how do I want to express that? It doesn't mean it's not about conforming. It's about, like I said, making it work for you.
I agree. And we have talked about, as part of our vision, doing some shorter videos. So I've started doing the free 1 minute shorts
mm-hmm.
on YouTube. And
mm-hmm.
And that's actually really, really helpful. I mean, it doesn't take that long,
mm-hmm.
except for to find a nice clip. It takes a little time, you know, that something looks
yeah.
coherent. And I did notice that, you know, my Spell It Out's only 30 minutes. And of a playlist, it gets more views as a playlist. So you definitely want to look at analytics and say, well, I do notice that, you know, this topic gets more. But having said that, there are some people that come on the show that don't get as much as I think they should, but I totally believe in them.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they'll be found. Like there's just, I have
yeah.
a good instinct for people. I always have. And I said, you know, there's a couple people, they should be more visible. And I know what they have to say is really good.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to be found. And that's why you never know, like the sleeper with the Kitchen Witch show was a sleeper and they'll suddenly come across
yeah.
this one person's done like 5 videos with us. And
uh-huh.
The other thing that's very touching is, we've always had the guest want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that means we're doing something right, too, because they can't wait to get back. Even the ones that were initially like, I don't know if I can talk for an hour. And they're like, oh, my God, that was an hour. And
well, it's a wonderful compliment because I think it feels that they can be their authentic selves.
Yes.
Because like, as you said in the beginning, you don't mind having a debate with someone. You're not looking for someone to sit around and agree with you and everyone have you want to have a real conversation with people that just respect each other and are
right.
open to seeing other and having a mature debate
yes.
or a mature discussion, even if you have a different perspective on it.
Yes.
And that's fun and exciting.
It is, and we do like to pick people we feel we believe in on some level. We take a look. There was one
right.
person we almost had on the show, and I went and looked him up and then read some of his book, and I was like, oh dear God. And I was like, we made a really some big excuse. It was just not
sorry.
A good thing, you know, and I didn't tell him why, and we didn't know him. And it was the only time, because usually I do my research ahead of time, and yeah, you can tell these days pretty much what kind of person, you know, you're inviting on the show and
right.
stuff.
Because there's so much media, and people do tend to have all this media, and you can kind of see
so
it.
So that was... But, you know, I get really nostalgic whenever I go back and look through the shows, and maybe it's my Cancerian side. I'll be like, I remember like the show, and it brings back really fond memories of all the guests. Yeah. I've so enjoyed, I never have not enjoyed the guest.
Yeah.
And, so it's a very, and I think we need in our world, I think that's why, for instance, Astrology Podcast is doing fantastic.
Right.
And they didn't have over 100 and some thousand subscribers when right. I first saw them, but they were doing pretty good. They're like in the 20 something.
Yes. Yeah.
And they have like 3-hour conversations, which is even a lot for me.
Well, but, you know, one of my favorite Mormon Stories podcast YouTube channel, they will go 3-4 hours talking about insane things to do with the Mormon church and topics.
Mm.
And it's fascinating. You'll just sit there and like let it go. You don't need to listen to it all at one
right.
time. So I think there's room for all of it. There's room for the 1 minute and there's room for the long form. A lot of times they do fundraisers when they do that.
Yeah.
So people can just pop in and out and listen and contribute. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I know Astrology Hub, and they have come, I mean, talk about marketing. I think the woman who's in charge of that is smart, and she does a lot of different types of marketing with all different types of things. And she tries a lot of different things, and it's worked because they've grown.
Yeah, it's so, totally. Yeah. And I think astrology definitely has kind of come into its own power, and tarot has too, but I'm looking forward to a time where it's not so popular because it's gotten a little ridiculous. Some of the, I mean, it's just insane the amount of tarot decks that are being made, and I mean, okay, but it's so popular that when anything becomes so popular, it somehow ruins it for me. It sort of loses, like, for instance, you know, the I Ching has never become super popular, which I'm kind of glad.
Right.
And Qigong and Tai Chi have never become like yoga.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's a benefit to that kind of popularity, but then you get all these people doing it that are just,
well, they don't know anything. I mean, there's a lot of people with, and I love the tarot, and there's a lot of wonderful people on YouTube that are truly gifted, and they deserve to have themselves out there. And
but
there's also just a lot of people that are like, hey, this is cool and interesting, and they start a channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you saw the documentary Up in Flames about Twin Flames.
Oh, yes. Oh, whoa.
We should do a discussion review on that documentary.
That's intense. Oh, my God. I never heard about it except for I saw the Netflix. And...
Well, there's that whole... And I remember, because like I would say about 5-6 years ago, tarot started getting popular.
Yes.
And I remember in the beginning, there were just a few people, and they did a monthly reading or a monthly and a bot, and that's all anybody did. And then someone started doing it every day.
Right.
Which wasn't bad that she was doing that, because it was just her. But then everyone started wanting to make huge channels and lots of money doing it. And I'm not saying that that's bad either.
No.
But it became like everybody and their cousin was doing a YouTube channel, and they were doing it every day, and they were regurgitating the topics. And I remember around that time, Twin Flame became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was watching these Twin Flame readings every single day about my Twin Flame, and my Twin Flame and I are together in the fifth dimension, and we can't be here, and they're married to someone else, and I'm waiting, and it has to be a struggle, and it has to be suffering, and that means it's beautiful. And it's this whole...
Yes.
The tarot community did take a piece of that, which wasn't really in the documentary, but that's how I knew about Twin Flames.
Well,
all those horrible
right.
tarot card readings and people getting addicted and attached to watching it every single day.
You're absolutely right. That would be a good angle because, of course, I had people coming to me. Now, I didn't even know what a twin flame was. And maybe I should have, because it did come originally from Edgar Cayce, though I think he meant a little different
and
by
it. Wasn't
it.
Necessarily a bad thing.
No,
Brad
but
told
the way
me
it took
it's a
it
Vedic
off.
Astrology thing. And he goes, I don't get why this is a thing. It's a Vedic astrology point that is so particular on somebody's Vedic chart that he didn't understand what it was, and everybody's coming in for a reading about their twin flame. And then when they break up with that person, then it's like, well, the alternative twin flame, or this was my false twin flame.
Oh, I never heard about that.
Or this is really my soulmate, not my twin flame. And it's dangerous. It got to be weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what that documentary series, I didn't realize how dangerous it had gotten. And yeah. I knew it was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Because the soulmate concept has never gone that far. Not like the way the twin flames did. People were, like you said, they were obsessed and they put up with things they might not have. But that might be a good kind of thing to have on as a show, come to think of it. You know, the, like you said, the angle of the tarot world contributing to the development of that.
And unfortunately, that's what's happened on YouTube Tarot. And I love YouTube Tarot because there are some wonderful people out there. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of people that are nebulous. You know, it's that tricky, shadowy energy. It's like a little bit slippery.
Yes.
You know, and even someone that doesn't mean to be sneaky or slippery, maybe they're a good person, but they're just like, oh, I'm getting attention, or people are enjoying the readings, or I'm getting a lot of followers. And, it, you know, it's like, oh, this is what the audience wants to see. And it can be very enabling of some very negative behaviors that aren't good for people to be developing.
Well, it's true. And one of the things that we try on our show, we want to have people that have some deep experience with whatever they're doing. Now, we do have one of our youngest people is a numerologist, but she's been doing it for 10 years, seriously.
Right.
I mean, she just happened to start really young and she went, and she has her own way of doing it. So we look for people that have been in their field for a while, whether people know about them, like in the case of Jackie Smith, or they don't, like, you know, Reverend Jim McGrath.
Right.
Because we think there's not enough of that idea. And that, you know, the thing that's interesting about tarot, and this is actually in some of the, I've been reading some of the older books because they're so interesting what you find out in some of the really, like, even Waite's book, if you read the Pictorial Key, he has some really interesting things about symbolism. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things about the old occult guys and ladies is they talk a lot often about how long it takes for the tarot to speak to you.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I thought, and these are guys that developed the tarot. And Oswald Wirth has some beautiful passages about that, how it will, you know, once you can't rush the process.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you can't start reading for people after you've been doing it a couple years, but to sort of read with the idea that you have a limit, that maybe I don't know about this particular topic yet. And in fact, young people can read, and sort of staying within your field. So if I'm a young person, maybe it's not the best idea to read about divorce. But you have tons of things you can read about that are very serious as young people.
Right. And you're talking about practicality, that the clients that are right for you will be attracted to you because you have what they need.
Right.
So it's the same thing for all of us. Like, I'm going to be for a particular kind of client. You're going to be it's not like you don't have anything to offer. It's like, maybe you shouldn't be, maybe if you're 17 years old, you shouldn't be reading for a 70-year-old. And I'm not saying that you couldn't give a 70-year-old a good reading, but maybe just the experience isn't there. The life experience isn't there to be able to.
Well, and that's, and what I'm perplexed by, and I have been for quite, this I've been perplexed by for a long time, these young people, they'll start doing professional readings in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, do they really realize the heavy stuff they're going to be dealing with?
Well, so I mean, people come to you as a therapist,
right?
With and intense traumas.
Exactly. I just wonder too. Like, do you want to put yourself through that?
Right.
At such a young age? Not saying again you shouldn't be doing any readings, or maybe hopefully you have a mentor, you have someone that you can go to, and you also have a limit. You say, hey, you know, I don't do this kind of thing because of whatever you want to say.
Do you know how to protect yourself? Do you know how to cleanse? It's like the spiritual hygiene thing.
Right.
And people, because so many people are out there and they're successful on social media, it's like, well, why can't I do that? I mean, a lot of people are successful on social media that really don't know what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just charismatic.
Yes.
And people are drawn to a certain charisma or a certain look or a certain thing. And again, I'm not here to judge or say it's bad. It's just, you want to be careful about what you're exposing to and how much you're exposing yourself to it.
Well,
comparing yourself to that person.
The Twin Flame documentary shows what charisma can do. It can really damage people.
Yeah.
And that discernment is really part of all things. But in metaphysics especially, you have to learn to discern. You know, like I might even go on and say, you know, I enjoy this person on YouTube, but I know that they're not really giving me any wisdom, but I like maybe their personality and they're quirky. And as long as you know, you know, you're not taking it in because of the glamour of it all.
There's nothing wrong with pure entertainment. And there were some readers that I used to watch all the time that I knew were like spiritual entertainment. They knew how to weave a good story and it wasn't anything damaging.
Right.
It was, you know, soft. It was, you know, inspirational. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's again, you have to know what you're looking at.
Yeah, I think it's all about awareness. And but yeah, the influencer trend and in tarot, it's huge. And and then there's this element of sexuality, which again, maybe is not bad completely, because when I was growing up, readers were not sexy at all. I mean, you just, it's like, let's just be straight. Most of them were older women, and they were very, you know, there was one Chinese woman that was very elegant that I'd go to, but there's this layer of sexuality now with success. Yeah. And I think that it's getting to be a little bit like too much for me.
Well, I mean, just, you know, look, if someone's wearing a bikini top and yoga pants and has a bit of wisdom and a bit of tapping into some intuition. Yeah, because, I mean, the women are going to look at it and they're going to be like, I want to look like that.
Right.
And the men are going to like looking at it. So I've seen that where it's like, okay, sometimes they're just pretty, you know, and I'm not saying that they are not good at what they do, but there is a certain amount of like, almost, you're presenting a sort of lifestyle that you want. So the person watching is going, I want to live. I mean, there's one girl who's highly successful, and I don't think there's a negative energy around it, but she's a really pretty young blonde, and she does do influencing. She does promote some things, and it's getting up in the morning and doing the run on the beach because she's woken up on the beach. And she's done and wearing the perfect pajamas and going out and running in the bikini top. And then now I'm eating my, I don't know, whatever vegan thing that she's promoting or whatever it is. And it's like, and you're like, wow, I want that. I want to wake up on the beach and wear a bikini top and look fantastic. So it's promoting this sort of thing with it. And I'm not saying her reading is bad. I mean, she does pick a card things, which I don't like to pick cards. People love them. I don't like them.
Yeah, they do.
They just absolutely love them. It's promoting almost like I want to be like that person.
That's a really good point. Sort of the merging of the lifestyle, the look, that by doing this, maybe I'll also be like that. Or if I listen to her, which of course is not true in any kind of department, you know, because, you know, she got that way for whatever reason.
She's born that way.
But I mean, some of it's kind of fascinating to me. The kinds of things people get mesmerized by. But I do think sometimes people want to be part of a community.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why, because you'll see like the very active chat and people are just getting to know each other through the chat. And so in that way, I don't think there's necessarily anything harmful to that. It's just in some ways, I used to be more offended by the superficiality of the tarot. Mm-hmm. And everyone's sort of very, you know, memorized version of the cards. And now I just see it as part of the evolution. And the right people, meaning people that really care and want to evolve, will evolve. They'll say, hey, you know what?
I want to learn more.
I want to do more than just what I read that book about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go look at this particular, you know, older book or the lineage. And what I discovered through my own thinking about it is the tarot will teach you if you let it. It will lead you to what will make you then a deeper reader. Mm-hmm. Everyone starts at a different level. But I don't think that the popularity of tarot, the way it's in the public, necessarily helps tarot. I think sometimes it hurts it a little.
Everybody and anybody can do it.
Right. And then also it's very trivial.
Yeah.
But then I trust the tarot and the tarot. I mean, when I think about my own evolution, I said, well, you know, I've gone deeper and I really got interested in where did it come from? What is its history? It deserves to be seen as a legitimate lineage, the way astrology is, because of its depth. And even within the lineage, there's definitely different interpretation. So it's not like it has one.
Right.
In fact, it's a surprising when you go and look at some of these like early 1900 books, how the difference between one Five of Cups and the other Five of Cups even then was quite different.
Right.
And it's really eye-opening, actually. It shows you, like, well, there isn't really anything definitive. But what is definitive is that it's a symbolic language and that it deserves to be seen instead of a literal, like, oh, the Three of Swords is misery and suffering. Well, that's not necessarily true depending on the context.
Right.
But also just looking at it symbolically and not only by the image, which is what a lot of, why I don't like a lot of the modern people. They look at all the pip cards so literally.
Right.
And you just get a little tired of it, you know, like, I've seen the star not be great for someone, believe it or not. Even though it's basically a good card, there can be contexts where it's not
What
working.
Are the other cards around it? What question is the person asking?
Yes.
What question are you asking of it? It's not all straightforward.
No.
You know, it's, and there's a lot of imagination and mystery and flow in it. So you don't want to confine yourself by reading a book and, you know, this is what, I mean, maybe in the beginning, just to get yourself going. I remember there was a reader, Stephanie, who used to work at Mystic Journey, and she was a medium. And in order to get her first job, she had to do tarot. So she bought a book and she literally memorized just the basic meanings of everything just to get herself this. And she was a wonderful lady, mm-hmm. just to get herself the job. And it evolved from that because she's a conscious person. So you kind of get yourself going and then you let the flow come in. You let the magic work. You let the tarot teach you, as you say.
Right.
If you're just open to it.
Right.
You know, and just, you can find that quiet space. Okay, I need a little bit of structure just to get me going. But now I want the flow to come into that structure. And it's always honoring the lineage and honor your own personal magic and your own personal medicine. Because you have a right to interpret the cards within who you are and your unique perspective on them as well. Because you'll get that on YouTube Tarot too. Somebody will interpret and they're doing a beautiful job and then the whole chat will be, you know, Three of Swords is depression and misery. And the Five of Cups is this and that. And the reader's like, you know, this is my channel and I get to say it is whatever it is. If you don't like it, click away.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's good to try and have your own interpretations.
Yeah.
You know, but getting back to our show, it's good to think about what we could have become and we didn't want to become like that for a variety of reasons. And the idea, I think, of having that broad vision that we had was so that people can be introduced to those people and then go and see them on their own, and which is happened where people go and get a reading with someone that was on our show or they want to go explore more a workshop with that person. And that happens with there's a wonderful lady in Australia that does these workshops and then they know and they can go and study with her. And so one of our, it's really fun to find, Michael's actually pretty good at it. He's found some really good guests. And this year, for the first time ever, we swore we weren't going to do the alien because we thought it was well covered. Not that we were opposed. So we had our first alien guest and Michael found the best people ever. And we've had so much fun with the alien shows. It's like, okay, it's time, you know?
And you know what? And that is trending and it is popular and it's authentic to you. So isn't it wonderful when those things come together?
Yeah, we didn't really, we did it right before that hearings. We had the show literally booked, but we didn't know it was going to be before the hearing.
Right.
And then Michael found the first one was Preston Dennett, and he's been doing alien investigation and writing for 35 years.
Wow.
And so from there, we kept getting recommendations and we've just loved the guests that have come on. And it's been really, really fun. And I've always watched Ancient Aliens and I've enjoyed it, but we just thought, okay, everyone else does it. Why do we need to do it? And we just said, well, we want to do it.
Yeah,
you know,
of
like you said, it's authentic. And so I think we'll be expanding more into that area. That's part of, you know, where we're going overall. And who knows what other sort of interesting topics. I'm trying to think if there's something else. We're still trying to get on someone, and we think we have a lead for a real exorcist.
Oh.
And someone that works, that's what they do. I think we did do a show with Jim on exorcism. That was really fun. So we would like to do someone that works in, you know, that area only, because I just feel like there's something, there does seem to be something legitimate in exorcism, because it's not that common. And people that I watch the documentaries when they say there's all kinds of screenings they go through before they even consider it could be an exorcism. It could be a mental issue. They have to.
And most of the time it is.
Yes.
So they have to always make sure that all of those, completely counted out.
So, and then you did mention something about the pandemic. We went through the show, we took the show home, and we did shows during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that helped us, actually. Mm-hmm. We had that show every week, so we had something that was regular that we enjoyed, and it was very good to have the show. And we got guests and did, you know, like I said, it was a little bit noisier, but it wasn't too bad because we, you know, we weren't prepared with a different mic or anything, but... we took the show home until we can come back to the lodge and do it here.
Right.
So, but I did want to catch up with you a little bit, you know, as we're getting a little closer to the end of the show. Let's find out what you've been up to since you've been on the show, which was, you know, quite a while ago. So what have you been doing and where is your energy focused?
On healing and therapy. I'm studying somatic experience as a practitioner. And I started 2 years ago. It's a 3-year program. It's the Peter Levine through International Trauma Healing. And that is a therapeutic modality based on the body, about balancing the nervous system, gaining inner resilience and resourcing, trauma, PTSD, stress and anxiety. It's been really fun for me. I've been absolutely loving it. And I've done a lot of... mentorships within energy healing with some really amazing people. So I've been studying Reiki for about 5 years with some incredible people. I'm studying pipe ceremony right now.
Oh.
So one of my mentors studied in a twisted hair Native American, the Deer Tribe. And so we are learning, me and one of my friends, we are learning the pipe ceremony from her. So I got a pipe and I got everything from my pipe altar, and that's super fun to learn and to connect into.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I doing? I started a flower essence brand. It's called Ceremonia. It's flower essences are a vibrational medicine. It's really wonderful for emotional and spiritual healing. The plants and the flowers go right direct to where you need the support, and they'll help bring things up and out that that you need to look at, that you need to explore for your healing and for your higher self. So I've collected probably about almost 40 of my own essences. I mean, I have some other collections, but I've collected about 40 of my own, including several from when I visited Peru about a year and a half ago. I was able to collect 5 of the master plants in Peru. So that's really exciting. I've got those in my collection. So I've been doing a lot of things focused on healing and therapeutic, work and expanding my current business, which is about helping children and their parents with academic and emotional and behavioral I call it education therapeutic coaching.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I have a master's degree in special ed. So I would like to expand my business to be able to focus more on like the therapy and the somatic experiencing and energy work and, you know, work with more of the flower essences. And we'll see how that begins to kind of form through as I go through the year. Mm. Sounds like a lot of different things.
No, I could see the thread going through it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, can people get your essences now? Are they for sale?
Yes. If they please, we can put an email in the link below. If anybody's interested in exploring a personal essence combination, you can please feel free to reach out to me. And Kristen Napier is at Kristen Napier is my Instagram. And I have a YouTube that I just started, Kristen Napier, and I believe Kristen Napier Official is the tag on my YouTube. I'm like 30 people strong.
We'll help you.
So come and join the fam. Right now there's channeled messages on there, but you're gonna see a shift towards breathing meditations and some distance energy healing meditation affirmation videos along with some of the channeled messages. I was getting a little bit away from the tarot because of everything that we just talked about and focusing a little bit more on, sometimes I even pick an oracle card and then I kind of let the message come through and then I turn the camera on because it's interesting. I'd love to continue this conversation with the tarot, and I love tarot, but I don't want to bring in a community of people that kind of get addicted to this sort of.
I have to admit, I don't eat. And then, you know, it's a lot of work to do every single day kind of readings, too, more than people realize, I think.
It really is.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things I will say for any kind of like metaphysical work, always go with your passions because they energize you.
Right.
And, you know, I think some people do enjoy that. And maybe they're very much exhibitionists and it's their style.
Right.
And I think that, you know, people, I think, should try to be themselves. And I think that that's not my style.
Right.
But so it's more like do what you're interested in, watch what you're interested in. Certainly it's good to explore. You know, I even tried one of those pick a card things. And I mean, there was kind of some things that were accurate, but at the same time, I'm a little too selfish. I like to have one-on-one readings.
Right.
I mean, and maybe because I've used readings to change my life. So to me, that has worked.
Yes.
So why would I not keep doing that?
And it seems to me like to even do like the Zodiac one or a collective read, if you're going to have a collective insight, that's great. But you're fooling yourself if you think that picking pile three is going to be more, it's going to be maybe more catered for you and like thousands of other people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just too vague for me.
It's really weird.
And people read into it. But you know what? I bet if it helps, as long as people don't get addicted.
Yeah.
But that's an issue in general in metaphysics with readings, people getting addicted to readings. And as a reader, you'll soon find out what I'm talking about. And you have to decide how to handle that yourself. Obviously, you can't on a YouTube channel unless you want some of that, I think, on the YouTube, you know.
Because if people are watching it, it's like, and it's insightful and it's about self-awareness, you can have something a couple times a week and it can be just community building in a positive way. But I'm sure you've had this where you get a person that wants a reading like every 2 seconds and it's the same question.
And it's that's the thing, is it's the same question over and over again.
I think I've done that a couple times.
If nothing else, it'll drive you insane at some point too. But you know, you learn a lot about human behavior. I mean, that's one thing I will say. To be honest, though, there's still some things that perplex me. Yeah. But I've gotten more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I have no idea. I even tell people, like, I have no idea. And I said, you know what? It's okay, because the human being is still a mystery. The subconscious is still a mystery.
Right.
We are still trying to understand it all. We do the best we can. I'll tell you if I feel I have some insight. If I don't, I'll tell you that too. I'll say, I don't know why that, based on the cards, that I have no idea why that happened. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say because the cards are always right. But when it's just something so strange, I'll be like, doesn't make sense to me, you know, because sometimes I'll think, oh yeah, I missed that, you know.
Right.
And I said, no. And because the cards usually will at least capture the energy. You know, I don't know how it does it, but it does capture kind of the energy, and I can misunderstand it or misinterpret it. So when it's really off, I just tell people, I don't know why that happened. And according to what I understand with the tarot, there's no explanation, is what I'll say. Like, why somebody hasn't contacted the person in the card show they should have. And they have the kind of cards for relationship. I'll say, you know, I don't know why.
And that's one of the biggest ones when it comes to relationship and love relationships. That's one of the big, are they going to contact me? Is there a chance at this? And a lot of times the cards will be positive, but it is looking at a possibility.
Yes.
And when you're dealing with another person, you're dealing with their energy flow, and it can be on a daily basis, it could be different. The moment of the reading, you could be tapping into an energy of the person that's actually really thinking a lot about them, really wants to make forward movement, misses the person. And then a day or two later, for whatever reason, it's just shifted. And yeah, that's a hard one. And that's a big question a lot of people ask is constantly about.
It is. And I try to tell people a little bit some of the complicated, like first meeting a person can be hard to predict the time and things like that. Right. And it is, I do emphasize in our readings, we do talk about probability and prediction. And, and for me, I'm comfortable with that, but I'm comfortable going to readers that tell me that.
Right.
I think there are people that want some kind of certainty.
Yeah, they want to know 100%. And then they're angry a little bit at you, or they're upset because you said it you've said that this the last 6 months I've come to you once a month and you've said this and it hasn't happened. And it's like,
yes.
Well, maybe you've thought about it too much.
Maybe. So we're getting close to the end. And I did want to thank like everyone that has been with us, whether it's along the way, the beginning, the middle, the end, that has subscribed to our show and listened in and chatted and bought us a coffee and kept us going. And your lovely comments. You have no idea how much that means to us when you say lovely things about the show. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we hope we can keep bringing you some great episodes as we go into our sixth year. And thank you, Kristen, so much. This has been a blast. We're going to have you come back.
Love it.
So join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. And have a great week.
Bye.